you'll be true. Maybe, baby, I'll have you for me. It's funny, honey, you don't care. You never listen to my prayer. Maybe, baby, you will love me someday. Well, you are the one that makes me glad, and you are the one that makes me sad. When someday you want me, well, I'll be there, wait and see. Maybe, baby, I'll have you. Maybe, baby, you'll be true. Maybe, baby, I'll have you for me.
Oh, yeah. How about Buddy Holly? That'll wake you up in the morning, will it not? Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It is a coolish Monday, January 22nd, all over the country, I suspect. It certainly is down here in Tampa Bay. We have a lot going on. In a few minutes, Cully Stimson of the Heritage Foundation is going to join us, and we're going to talk about the Fannie Willis Donald Trump soap opera in Georgia and the allegations that Willis is in a romantic relationship with the guy she named prosecutor. Question, could that boot her off the case? We're going to talk about that. And now that Ron DeSantis has dropped out of the presidential race, what comes next? We are going to look at what could happen between Trump and Nikki Haley tomorrow, when the primary occurs in New Hampshire. So stay tuned for that as well. And as charges loom for Hunter Biden, it turns out nearly two dozen current or former Joe Biden officials have direct ties to the president's son. We're going to examine some of that. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, this being football playoff season in the NFL, we're going to give you the top 10 closest Super Bowl games. Let's see if Ed knows what's number one. By the way, Freedom Works. We are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. And for my money, the best place you men can go for a haircut. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, whether it's tree enhancement, tree pruning, tree growth, tree removal, stump grinding, whatever, if it has to do with a tree, it's Arbor Life, Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call today for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So now that we're down to the, what do you call it? The magical two? The final two? The championship two? Whatever you want to call it. The New Hampshire primary, which is really the first primary in the presidential race because Iowa was a caucus. And it looks like Trump is maintaining a huge lead in the polls, whether or not Ron DeSantis is in there. But the New England newspapers are endorsing Nikki Haley. According to a poll released yesterday with just 2 days to go, Donald Trump has a commanding lead over Nikki Haley. Trump, 50%, according to the poll. And Haley, 39%. Now, the poll was taken before Ron DeSantis dropped out. He was at 6%. And that might have been one of the reasons that Ron dropped out as quickly as he did. He did not see a pathway after the Iowa caucus. He threw everything, including the kitchen sink, into the caucus. And yet, look how far behind he was with Donald Trump. He and Donald Trump, I think, are considered by a lot of Republican voters as basically having the same philosophy when it comes to the things to do in our country. So DeSantis didn't see a pathway. He didn't think he was going to win in New Hampshire, and I don't think he thought he was going to win in South Carolina. Be that as it may, the Boston Globe yesterday backed Nikki Haley, but it reads more like an indictment of Trump than a vote of confidence in Haley. The Globe wrote, Haley's not this editorial board's cup of tea, but she is a mainstream traditional conservative who would not put the country through constant scandals or take a torch to basic principles of democratic government like accepting election results. The Globe is going after independent voters who are allowed to vote in either of the primaries as long as they register by October. And that's why you never know in the New Hampshire primary. In another endorsement for Nikki Haley, the New Hampshire Union Leader, used to be called the Manchester Union Leader, struck a more enthusiastic tone. Nikki Haley is an opportunity to vote for a candidate rather than against those two. Again, this came out before DeSantis dropped out. It said a candidate who can run circles around the dinosaurs from the last two administrations, backwards and in heels. So there you go. I don't know. Is it going to be close? Doesn't look like it. Is it going to be a big turnout? Possibly. Is the weather going to be better than Iowa? Almost assuredly it'll be better. We'll see where all of it goes. In the meantime, Ron DeSantis took a parting shot at Nikki Haley, and he also endorsed Donald Trump. He endorsed Donald Trump. DeSantis lashed out at Haley as he dropped out. He said she's a representative of corporatism and emphasized his endorsement for Trump. He said, I signed a pledge to support the Republican nominee and I will honor that pledge. He has my endorsement because we can't go back to the old Republican guard of yesteryear. A repackaged form of warmed-over corporatism that Nikki Haley represents. He said, the days of putting Americans last, of kowtowing to large corporations, of caving to woke ideology are over. So there you go. He had announced that he was suspending his campaign yesterday. He went on social media video on... The former Twitter, X, to make that announcement. He said, if there was anything I could do to produce a favorable outcome, more campaign stops, more interviews, I would do it. But I can't ask our supporters to volunteer their time and donate their resources if we don't have a clear path to victory. So there you go.
What aggravates me about this whole candidate dropping out is you know they're going to do it. And you have to have a plan for when they do. Like, you know, Fox and Fiends this morning, of course, they went
Fox
out. They were out with the diners out in New Hampshire.
Yeah, that's what they do.
They went to Nikki Haley's fan table, all three of them. And the women there said, you know, the first thing they asked, of course, is, you know, why are you voting for Nikki Haley? Well, you know, we're tired of what Biden's done and this and that and how horrible the border and the immigration and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. Well, what if she doesn't make it? Will you vote for Trump? No, we're not going to vote for Trump. Well, then what do you want, woman? What do you want? Do you want Biden back in there? You just said my point is, look, if Trump were to bail out, thrown in jail, throw away the key, I don't know, whatever happens, medical, whatever, I go with the next one because I don't want Biden in there. And people, if you think Biden's bad now, can you imagine another 4 years? He's not going to make 4 years, which means you're going to get Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a dumb...
And the ones that are anti-Trump are... And Judge Judy... Of course, she's back at Nikki Haley. She did a great job with Bloomberg 4 years ago. You know, she says America doesn't need a, when she called him a barnyard bully. Well, I don't know if she's ever seen her own show.
Yeah.
But she ain't no Krispy Kreme grandmama up there.
No. She goes after the people that are in front of her.
It's hypocrisy and just stupidity.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, going to be interesting. Let's put it that way. Very interesting. I've never seen anything like it. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Cully Stimson of the Heritage Foundation is going to be with us. We're going to talk about the Fannie Willis Donald Trump soap opera.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years. And two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrews, Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's Monday. It's a cold Monday. This has been one of the coldest winters we've had for a while here in Tampa Bay. Kind of interesting. I don't mind it. Got my long sleeve pullover. I don't know, sweatshirt on. I feel pretty good right now.
People in the Northeast would prefer we didn't call it cold, rather a little chilly.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that.
Because when we bark at 50 degrees, you know, they're looking for their Bermuda shorts.
We are delighted to have Cully Stimson join us. He is the deputy director of the Mies Center at the Great Heritage Foundation, where he is an expert in national security, crime control, and immigration. We're going to talk with Cully about this whole, I guess you would call it soap opera, fiasco, whatever you want to call it, between Donald Trump and Fannie Willis from Georgia. Cully, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Delighted to be with you. Look, give me a sec. I need to put my small violin away about your cold weather. Okay.
Please do.
Yeah. It's 22 here, just to let you know.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're in D.C.
Yeah.
And
I'm in the swamp.
Yep. Okay. We're not going to complain down here. Not at all. So, this is really interesting. I mean, Donald Trump, I don't know how he does it. All of these different things that are going on in his life, it's not just with the Georgia situation, it's all over the place. But in this particular case, we have a prosecutor that was appointed by Fannie Willis that has a direct romantic tie to her, and it just all of a sudden, it makes you wonder just how straight an arrow any of this situation really is. Could you give us a little background, Cully, on the Fannie Willis situation?
Happy to. First off, it's important to recognize that on the one level, this has nothing to do with the underlying charges against Trump or any of the other defendants. This has to do with her misconduct and lack of ethics as a prosecutor on those cases. Everyone's entitled to their private life. No one cares what she does in her private life. However, here, as the chief prosecutor in Atlanta, she had the authority to hire outside counsel, but you have to get permission. Number one, she didn't do that. Number two, she got COVID funds from the county to clear up the backlog of cases, but instead she used that money to hire Nathan Wade, who happens to be her lover. To get permission to spend that money that way. Three, Nathan Wade, who's never tried a RICO case in his life or defended one, so he's not qualified, didn't get sworn in as a special prosecutor for almost a year, even though he indicted Trump and everyone else. so he had no authority to even take those actions. And then four, we've heard about her romantic liaison with him, which no one really cares about her private life. He was a married man at the time, and adultery is one of the 13 bases for a contested divorce in Georgia, which is the reason she's a witness in this nasty divorce case. So here's the deal. If she doesn't recuse herself from this case in her office, which she should, then when the hearing happens on the 15th of February before the trial judge, he'll start asking those tough questions. And my guess is that any trial judge worth his or her salt will just have her recuse herself and Wade from the case and kick it over to the next county DA, who then can take a fresh look at these cases. And I think that's the situation down there.
So there's a good chance it's going to be either put on hold or it will have to be restarted with somebody else. What do you think if indeed that happens? Do you think it will be picked up by somebody else, or is that too far down the pike to even consider?
Well, I was a prosecutor in several different offices at the local level and the federal level, and I was the conflict or recusal prosecutor in one particular county in Maryland where I was a homicide prosecutor. And typically what happens is when an office either self-recuses, which she should if she had an ounce of integrity, or a judge forces them to recuse, then it goes to another county there in Georgia, and that DA will have to take a fresh look at all these cases. That DA could just assume the procedural posture and just continue forward, but most DAs are going to just take a fresh look. And if there's no there, or this was entirely a political prosecution, and the theory of prosecution is wacky or has no legs, I could see another DA saying, you know what, we're not doing anything. We looked at everything. And we're not filing those charges here in this county.
Right. And, you know, now we almost forget about what the charges are. Now, Donald Trump was contesting the Georgia election. Was that the basis for the charges, that he was trying to influence the vote or the count or taking a second look at the voting in Georgia?
Right. Much like Hillary did or Al Gore did in Florida or Kennedy did in Hawaii in 1960. We wrote about it here at the Daily Signal. And, you know, what she was doing, and by the way, remember, she ran for office with the banner Integrity Matters, unquote, which is laughable now, but also that she would, if elected, prosecute Donald Trump. So she has commoditized and ran on doing that, which I think is an ethical problem in and of itself. But yeah, the sum of the charges essentially is that he dared to exercise his First Amendment right and challenged what happened in Georgia at the election. And, you know, we've written about it as a Daily Signal. I don't want to bore you with all the legal details. But when you start criminalizing people exercising their First Amendment right to contest elections, then I guess, you know, if you're going to apply that to everybody, I guess you go after Hillary, you go after Al Gore, you go after Kennedy, you go after anyone else who contests an election. And that's just not right.
Yeah. We're talking with Cully Stimson. He is the deputy director of the Meese Center at the Heritage Foundation. He's an expert in crime control, national security, and immigration. We're talking about the Fannie Willis situation. Now, apparently, she and I guess her, the prosecutor that she named in the case, did they not take some sort of a trip and take a bunch of money that maybe they shouldn't have taken along with them on the trail? I mean, this is really getting to be, I just wonder where her brain was when she did all of this.
Yeah. So the divorce proceeding with Mr. Wade, his name is Nathan Wade, and his wife, have produced, of course, financial records, which happens in contested divorce cases. And those financial records include credit card receipts where Mr. Wade used his credit card to pay for various trips, including Napa Valley, California, a couple of cruises, various other swanky locations with none other than Fannie Willis. And that's really not that interesting, except for the fact that she hired Wade. He paid Wade. He's her subordinate. He had no qualifications to be the prosecutor to handle a complicated RICO prosecution, and now she's whining and complaining that this is all racism, which of course is a joke. It has nothing to do with her color, his color, or anything else. It has to do with the fact that it's unethical, and it just looks bad. And it also creates the appearance of impropriety, which is, she's given a bad name to prosecutors.
No, I think
that's not good.
Yeah.
And didn't he show up at the White House at some point as well? I mean, it just seems like he doesn't sound very independent to me.
Why would a nobody, no-name dude in a random state in the South who doesn't have significant RICO experience end up at the White House and talk to people twice about who knows what? Why? What's the explanation for that? I mean, there's been no, this is like, you know, Lucille Ball, you got some explaining to do, Ricky, because there's no logical explanation here, right? I mean, what else would he be talking about? The weather?
Exactly right. Yeah. It doesn't look good. I don't see how this case proceeds the way it... And also, wasn't one of the co-defendants the one that kind of unearthed all of this information about Nathan Wade and his relationship with Fannie Willis?
So it wasn't the co-defendant. It was the co-defendant. Well, it was him and his lawyer. Yeah.
I should say his lawyer. Second lawyer. Okay.
Right. And by the way, that other co-defendant is known in Georgia and in the Southeast as a really good opposition researcher. And so I guess Fannie Wade didn't realize that her conduct was going to be scrutinized as much as the defendant's potential criminal conduct. But, you know, when you lower the boom on a case that it has massive political ramifications and may have no legal merit, you got to understand that, you know, people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
Yeah, it's so political. Isn't it somewhat similar to that, what is it, that New York attorney general
right.
sitting around showing up at that particular Trump court hearing and sort of beaming in the front row and...
Right, Letitia James.
Yeah,
right.
Letitia James. It's just so... it's so obviously we're out to get Trump. I mean, everybody sees it, and you... In that particular case, of course, they're going after his business dealings with in securing loans. I mean, it just seems so blatantly political in both cases.
You know, look, I just wrote a book with a colleague of mine called Rogue Prosecutors, How Radical Soros Lawyers Are Destroying America's Communities. And we focus on 8 particular cities. Alvin Bragg has his own chapter. He's the DA in New York City. And they're giving prosecutors a bad name because they're refusing to prosecute entire categories of crime, including all misdemeanors, watering felonies down, et cetera, not seeking the death penalty or life without parole or sending any juvenile thugs to adult court. But this type of prosecutor, you know, the Fannie Willis type, they're just giving normal law and order prosecutors, whether they're Democrat or Republican, is irrelevant, a bad name.
No, absolutely right about that.
They shouldn't be doing that. Justice is blind, and you should follow the evidence where it leads. You shouldn't go after people for political purposes. That's third worldly.
You're absolutely right about that. Let's plug your book again. Is it still available?
Oh, totally. Yeah, thank you. It's on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's called Rogue Prosecutors, How Radical Soros Lawyers Are Destroying America's Communities by Zach Smith and me, Charles Stimson, or Cully Stimson. And it's a true crime novel that traces not only the origins, beliefs, and playbook of the Soros bought and paid for rogue prosecutor movement, which started in 2016 with Kim Fox in Chicago, but also in the eight chapters on each of the rogues, like George Gascon and Larry Krasner and Kim Fox, et cetera, Tessa Boudin in San Francisco. We tell real crime stories, not told anywhere else, that would not have happened but for their pro-criminal policies. So I hope folks buy it.
Yes, indeed. Well, good for you, Cully, and we really appreciate your coming on, talking to us about this situation. I look forward to talking with you again down the road.
Well, I hope you survive the frigid weather down there.
We're going to do our very best.
You.
Yes, I know you do, and we thank you for that.
I'll send you a blankie. Yeah.
Would you please? That would be so sweet. All right.
Hey, Cully, I guarantee you 24 hours or air conditioners will be back.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, I feel better for you. Great.
Okay. Thanks, Cully.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Cully Stimson. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, as charges now looming for Hunter Biden, it turns out nearly 24 current or former President Biden officials, Joe Biden officials, have direct ties
to good old Hunter. So we'll talk about that.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Day before the big New Hampshire primary. Trying to stay warm here down in Tampa Bay, and delighted to have both Angelo and Andrew Ceresi joining us here on this Monday. So we'll get a double whammy. I'm going to talk a little bit about, of course, what's coming up in the New Hampshire primary. Guys, of course, the big news this morning, Ron DeSantis has dropped out. Andrew, what are your thoughts about when you first heard yesterday that that Ron was going to leave, the scene?
It was a big surprise, to be honest with you.
Was it really?
Yeah, when it first came out, we didn't expect it. And I talked to his dad, and he says, "I'm definitely surprised. I didn't know nothing about it."
Wow. Mm-hmm. Do you think it was a spur of the moment decision? Although he had canceled his, he was going to show up on those a bunch of Sunday talk shows, and he decided not to do it. I started to wonder, well, why would he start canceling those shows 2 days before the primary? You know.
Yep. Well, he must have known something.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's time to move on.
So it's time to move on. So we're left here with both, of course, Donald Trump and Nikki Haley, the only two left.
Oh, my God.
So here we go into the New Hampshire primary. Angela, what do you think about all of this?
Well, yeah, I was surprised, too, when I heard the news. And, you know, well, I think he made the right decision. Donald Trump, the people in the Republican Party definitely want Donald Trump to give him a second chance. And I think, you know, the people who were in the primaries kind of have to realize that this is what it is. Like, I saw Newt Gingrich the other night,
mm-hmm.
and he says there is no second place. And these people have to realize that Donald Trump's going to be the nominee.
There wasn't a path left for Ron DeSantis. And if he was going to get like 6% in New Hampshire, and he had, I mean, what was going to happen in South Carolina? He was sort of running along in the same lane as Donald Trump, was he not? At least Nikki Haley might be considered a little bit, I don't know, more. She may attract more moderate voters. Would either one of you agree with that?
She's going to attract Democrat voters. That's what she's doing in the primaries. What are you talking about?
Well, technically, you have to register. I think by October.
In New Hampshire?
Yes. You have to register by October to be able to vote in the Republican primary. That means that if you wanted to change your affiliation
let's say you were a Democrat, you'd have to do it by then, apparently. You can't just...
Hey, I'll bet you there were hundreds of them that did it by October.
Yeah, I think there were a bunch. And then if you're an independent, you could do it.
So see, that's where I think the primary, like in New York State, which is probably the right thing that they've ever done, is that if you're a registered Democrat, you vote in a Democratic primary, and if you're a registered Republican, you vote in a Republican primary. Mm-hmm. Although, as an elections inspector and an election supervisor, I had people who came up who were registered Republicans wanted to vote for Hillary Clinton in the Democratic primary, right?
Yes.
And these were mostly all women that were doing that. And I'll say, didn't you pay attention in civics class that this is how it is?
Yeah.
I mean, these are the people that are electing our presidents,
yeah.
Believe it or not. Now you know why we have what we have in the White House.
Yep.
Now you know why we have people like Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Nikki Haley running for office, because women will vote for women no matter what.
Some will.
Some will, not all.
Not all. Okay, I don't know that we could throw the blanket over all of them.
No, but the thing is, like, an independent should not be able to vote in a Republican primary, mm-hmm. or a Democratic primary.
Yeah.
You're an independent, and that's the reason why you're an independent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And there is no independent party running primary.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess if you are a registered independent, now maybe that's the situation, that you can... as a registered independent, go into the Republican primary. If you say, I'm a no-party affiliation type or whatever it is.
Yeah, but it should just be just for people.
Just for Republicans.
And that people voting who they want to be the nominee. You can vote, if you're independent, you can vote for anybody you want during an election.
During the regular election.
During the regular election,
you're saying,
right.
It should strictly be
a primary.
Right, it should strictly be a registered Republican.
Right, I mean, people that go out and get the signatures, that go out, and just register as a Republican, and they should have the say who the nominee should be, not an independent.
Fair enough. So, tomorrow, what do you think, guys? Are you going to project? Is Trump going to dominate? Right now, it looks like he's got a 30-point lead over Nikki Haley. Something like that. It doesn't look like it's going to be. I may be wrong about that. Let's see. Where are my numbers on this one? I guess he's got a substantial lead, even with the independents or whatever else that are going to be voting in there. Doesn't look like Nikki Haley's got much. And the other thing is, what happens when they go to South Carolina? Trump may be stronger in South Carolina than Nikki Haley herself, and that's where she's from.
There's no question about that. There's no question he's stronger in South Carolina.
I mean, she should realize that, that it's over.
If she can't win her own state, I think she will. That's my guess. It would be embarrassing. And then she's got everybody in South Carolina that's anybody endorsing Donald Trump over her. The governor, the senator, Tim Scott.
Yeah. Listen, it was very simple in New Hampshire. Yesterday, she had a rally there with 1,200 people. Trump had a rally there yesterday with 10,000 people.
Yeah.
That's your poll.
Yeah. Here's the thing with Trump, and it was not the case with DeSantis. Trump connects. Ron DeSantis was not connecting with people. I think, I felt, I like him. I think he would be a good president, but he wasn't making the connection. You could just see it. It wasn't there. When Trump gets out there, people warm to him right away, He has that, he can reach out and kind of touch you when he's talking. Yeah.
He has
charisma.
He has a charisma. He has that personal connection. He's just got it,
Right. He connects with the people. He connected the first time. And he's connected with the people now. And I think the people really feel that he was given a raw deal, and many people really feel that the Democrats really cheated in a way that going to the courts to change election laws, using the pandemic to change election laws, and I think the American people see that, even though I've said that many people don't know how this country really runs or how our election laws are, that they see it in human nature when these people are going after Donald Trump for no reason at all. Like that Fannie Willis, Letitia James over here in New York.
Right, we were talking about that.
I mean, you see, people can see what is happening.
Hey, I got something for both of you. Haley, Nikki Haley says that Trump is in a mental decline. And she said he is no longer as competent as he was in 2016. She made the statement during an appearance on Face the Nation yesterday, where she saw evidence of Trump declining mentally when she served in his cabinet. Quote, if you look recently, there have been multiple things. He claimed Joe Biden was going to get us into World War II. I'm assuming he meant World War III. He said he ran against President Obama. He never ran against President Obama. And then she mentioned at some point about the fact that he mixed up he mixed her up with Nancy Pelosi and the Capitol Police. And she said, and Nikki Haley, you know, had the ability to bring in the Capitol Police to keep things from getting out of hand. So he made, you know, he made a mistake with names. I mean, other than that, he looks to me to be perfectly the same.
You know, when he says he ran against President Obama, he's saying that Biden is a puppet of President Obama.
Yeah, might have.
Sometimes you got to read into what he's saying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because this is how he feels. He really feels that he's ran against Obama. Well, Obama, you know, Biden is just a figurehead. But all the people that you see have been in the Biden. That are in the Biden administration are from the Obama administration.
Yeah, no, I think she's getting desperate. And she says, you know, he's going to be in his 80s in office. That is Trump, if he's reelected.
Well, you know, she's been very, if she had any chance of being vice president in his administration, is gone.
Oh, there's no way.
Ron DeSantis, I don't think, was vindictive towards Donald Trump at all. I think he was more milder on his campaign against Donald Trump.
I think he was, too.
Where Nikki Haley's very vicious and very vindictive.
Well, I mean, you can kind of understand. She said, you know, I liked him when he was president the first time, but things are different now, and it's a different generation, and now he's losing some of his steam. And, you know, that's kind of what the route she's going to be taking. But, you know, she's got to say something.
Well,
what's she going to say, you know?
I mean, she chose this path to run against her former boss. And, you know, sometimes you got to be careful when you're out there in public and you're running for office. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because if she had any chance whatsoever to be on his A-list to be vice president, it's gone.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any chance of that. Andrew, what do you think the prospects are for Ron DeSantis to wait until 2028 and reconsider?
Well, first of all, I think Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis need to get on their knees and kiss his ring.
Okay.
That'd be the first thing.
Okay. She may do that after all of this is over with. Stay in the fold, you know.
You know, Paul, it's really hard to say right now. They tore Ron DeSantis apart.
Mm-hmm.
They really did. They bursted his bubble, knocked his balloon down. For him to run again, how hard is it going to be for him to get money? Let's face the facts.
I don't know. It's 4 years. That's a long time. But you may be right. In other words, you think he might have just, because he'll not be in office at that point, right? Will he?
Well,
be?
You know what else might be gambling on too, Paul?
What?
You know, Donald Trump is still under indictments.
That's
now,
true.
Ron has been all approved and went through all the things to run for president, right? Just because
he's
he
only suspended his campaign. He didn't.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He suspended his campaign.
That's true.
So all that means is if something was to happen to Donald Trump where they put him in jail and he couldn't run, Ron could step right in.
Yeah, in fact, they could have something happen when they all get together, you know, and make the actual vote with the delegates at the convention. You never know, you know?
That's what I'm saying. It's, you know, you say he suspended his.
He suspended,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, he didn't drop out.
So who do you think, let me ask each of you, who do you think the vice president might be? Let me start with you, Angela. Who do you think that, if Donald Trump wins the Republican nomination, who do you think he's going to select for vice president?
I would say Elise Stefanik.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, she did very good in questioning those college presidents.
Yes, she did.
Never been, who never should have been college presidents to begin with. And she's very sharp. She's in the leadership post in the Congress. And then again, you got Kristi Noem too. You know, I mean, those two. I mean, he probably pick a he may pick a woman as his vice president.
Okay, that's fair enough. What do you think, Andrew?
Well, my brother got the idea of Kristi Noem from me. Okay, let's get that straight.
Okay,
yeah, right. He didn't say it's Stefanik. He's trying to cover himself.
Okay.
Now, the fact of the matter is, Donald Trump is just tends to be a little weak with suburban women, and Kristi Noem will just, you know, be totally with these people. The suburban women will go nuts with Kristi Noem.
Yeah.
She will lock up the suburban women. I think that's what it's going to take to put Trump over the top.
No, I think you have a good point on that one. I do think there's a chance Tim Scott might also be in the running.
Well, those would be the top three, I would say.
Okay. Stefanik,
let's make
Kristi Noem, and Tim
Scott? I'm on Kristi Noem.
Okay. I'm going back and forth between Kristi Noem and Tim Scott because he could shore up a lot of the black vote, could he not, with Tim Scott?
Okay, then you got Tim Scott. Well, I got Kristi Noem. Angelo's got Stefanik. Okay. Now, who does that want?
But you know,
I'm 50-50 with Kristi and Tim, but that's okay. I'll take Tim.
And I think Elise Stefanik will get a post. In Donald Trump's administration.
Yeah, and I think the same for Tim Scott, and I think the same for Kristi Noem, one way or the other. I think all three of them.
I mean, either way, I mean, and then, but you know, I think the American people have finally woken up to see what's happened. And I don't mean woke, I mean have woke up about what's happening to President Trump.
Now, Big Ed thinks that Vivek Ramaswamy is still in the running, right?
I didn't say anything. I thought it would be a good pick because he's always got, he's very, very articulate, and he's always got Trump's back. But I don't think he's going to, that would get him the votes, and I would have to say Tim Scott would get him the votes. The women, I'm not sure that they're well known enough outside of the general, you know, people that go and vote. They're going to be like, Kristi who? You know, and Haley's out. That's not going to happen. But I think Tim Scott, I think he's, because people are going to look for a reason not to vote for Trump. Well, I don't like Trump, but I like Tim Scott. I like him to be the vice president.
And but he only got 2%.
Well, I know that, but you got to remember who's, we're back to Ron DeSantis.
But in the general election,
front runner?
In the general election, Angelo, Tim Scott could possibly pull some blacks that would normally vote Democratic. That's, I think, what Ed's also saying.
Think that, you're right. I think about that. And Vivek, hey, being a business guy and very articulate the way he is and everything, hell, he'd be a very good Secretary of Treasury. Treasury Secretary.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
he's very articulate.
Okay.
And he's a businessman, right?
Yeah.
I told Paul, I said, I would, if I were Trump and I was in, I would make him press secretary. He would have them CNN reporters curled up in the fetal position, sucking their thumbs by the time
he
got through with them.
You may be right about that.
Of course, the press conference might be 8 or 9 hours long, but it would definitely be informative.
That brings up, that reminds me, a former press secretary of his who is now the governor of Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I'm thinking of her name, too. Her father was governor.
Huckabee.
Huckabee. Thank you. Sarah Huckabee. You know, she's also on the short list for the vice presidential nomination.
Yeah. But she's not governor of Alabama.
Yes, she is.
Arkansas.
Yes, she is. Arkansas.
I'm sorry. I got the wrong state. That's right.
Oh, boy.
Paul can't remember.
Hold it. I cannot remember anymore. I got to straighten Paul out on one thing.
Sure.
I researched something the other day.
Okay.
Now, you remember you had me doing the Greek dance the other day because you said George Soros was Greek.
Yeah,
George Soros is Greek.
He is not Greek. He is Hungarian.
Hungarian.
Well, he might be Hungarian, but his Soros is a Greek name, and they mentioned that he has a Greek ancestry. Now, maybe he's not living in Greece.
He was born in Hungary. He is Hungarian,
but he's also a Nazi.
No, they said he never was.
He's a communist.
Not communist, but not a Nazi. I think he's not a Nazi.
I think he's more of a communist than a Nazi.
He was not raised with the little brown coats and stuff, no.
No.
He's actually a Hungarian Jew.
Fair enough. Yeah, you may be right about that. Mm-hmm.
I researched this whole thing after we got off.
I think you had said he was German, and I had said I thought he was Greek. That's where we had had a question.
Okay, but anyway, now we know he was
a Hungarian Jew. All right. I always learn something. When I talk to you guys, I always learn something.
I'm always very appreciative.
Huh?
Is it pretty cold down there?
It's cool.
It's cold.
It's like mid-50s.
I had to sit in front of my television in my living room with the heat on 74 and my winter coat on to watch the Bucks and the Bills.
I'll bet you did.
I did?
You guys, let me tell you something. It's only 20 degrees out here. We've had 15 degrees.
Yeah.
We got a foot and a half of snow out here.
Beautiful.
50 degrees is golfing weather.
Well, I tell you, I got to run, you guys, but thank you so much for being with us, and a pleasure to have both of you on. Always look forward to it, and we'll talk again soon, my friends.
Yep. Be good.
Stay warm, guys.
Yeah, we will. You too. All right. We're going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, we are going to give you the top 10 closest Super Bowl games.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years. And two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We're not going to have time to get into the Hunter Biden story, unfortunately. We've got too many other things going on. One of which, Ed, is that Buccaneers' visit to the Detroit Lions yesterday, and unfortunately, our beloved Buccaneers were not able to beat the Lions.
They gave it a good run. They lost by 8 points. But successful year as far as I'm concerned, because they weren't even predicted to make the playoffs. And at least they didn't get bounced in the first round.
That's right.
So
they beat Philadelphia quite handily.
It's just so harsh because now it's over.
It is over. The closer you get, the more it hurts.
Yeah.
So we're left with Baltimore and Kansas City in the AFC,
yep.
And Detroit and San Francisco.
Yep.
You want to make any picks? Do you think what are going to be the two remaining teams?
I really do think that Kansas City will beat Baltimore, and that's in Baltimore.
Yes,
by the way.
Yes, it is. It's in Baltimore.
And then I think San Francisco is going to be too much for Detroit.
So you think it'll be San Francisco versus Kansas City?
The Bucs lost by 8 points, but it was kind of close. It was close.
Yeah, it was.
And you got to remember, they just barely the Lions barely beat the Rams the game before, so. I think San Francisco will be too much for them.
Okay, fair enough. Speaking of that, our top 10 has to do with the top 10 closest Super Bowl games. Ed, I want to see if you will know. There's only one that was played down to 1 point. I want to see, Ed, if you know which one it is. So here we go. And actually, there are, would you believe, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 at the very start of this. So here we go for the bottom six of the top 10. These were all 4-point games, all right? Yep. And here they are. Pittsburgh 21, Dallas 17, Super Bowl 10. Super Bowl 13, Pittsburgh 35-31 over Dallas. Super Bowl 23 was San Francisco over Cincinnati 20-16. Super Bowl 43, Pittsburgh over Arizona 27-23. Super Bowl 46, the New York Giants over the New England Patriots, 21-17.
That was one I thought.
And Super Bowl 49, the Patriots over the Seattle Seahawks, 28-24. Mm. So that's right there was 1, 2, 3. That's six games. So the next one is actually a tie for number two. And you know how many we have that are number two? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There are seven games that were decided by 3 points, Ed. Huh. Okay, Baltimore over Dallas. The Patriots over St. Louis. The Patriots over the Carolina Panthers. The Patriots over the Philadelphia Eagles. The Giants over the Patriots. And the Baltimore Ravens over the San Francisco Giants in Super Bowl 47. So, right, Ed. There was one game where it was only 1 point. Do you know what it was?
I'm thinking it was the Giants over the Bills in Tampa Stadium, 1886, maybe.
1886?
1986.
You know what?
I think. Or 87 or something like that.
You're right.
Really?
Yeah.
That was the wide right.
It was Super Bowl 25. It would have been actually 1991, I think.
That was the year of the Gulf War.
That's right.
91, I just said.
The Giants beat the Buffalo Bills, like you said, and it was 20-19 in Super Bowl 25, and I think you're right. It was played in Tampa.
Yeah, and it was wide right. Remember, the kicker kicked it wide right.
Okay. And I don't remember.
That was it.
You're good.
And that was also the year of Whitney Houston sang the national anthem.
Whitney Houston, the late Whitney Houston.
That was the one she killed it on, yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. Very good, Ed. I appreciate that. We're going to be back on Wednesday, everybody. We thank you very much for listening. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Steve Kathan. A day before the Republican presidential primary in New Hampshire.
Very exciting time. I look forward to this every single 4 years. But I will tell you that this year I am still completely undecided.
The decision for voters is essentially between former President Trump and Nikki Haley. Ron DeSantis quit the race yesterday. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
We've seen kind of the coalescing of the Republican Party around Donald Trump.